This is the Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage show by Mark Helm. Nothing Mark shares with you guarantees your success in the self-storage business. This is for informational purposes only. There are no calls to action and nothing said or implied is a call for investment money into self-storage or any other asset class. You are responsible for your success in the self-storage business or any endeavor in life. Enjoy the show. And here is Mark Helm.
Well, we started a conversation last week about tariff, trade areas, and self-storage and lessons I learned from The Big Short. And let's complete that conversation today. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the Quick Start Academy that houses the training that I offer small investors who want to get in or grow their self-storage business. You can find out more about the products I offer, like free training and courses. Courses like how to build your first self-storage facility. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. Now, like I said last week, some dots have been connected for me in relationship to how we're moving forward, especially analyzing trade areas in the self-storage business. And of all the things would help me is lessons I learned from an individual, Michael Litt, from what he did in the Great Recession. Recently, our CCIM chapter had him come and speak, and when I noticed that people from all over the eastern part of the U.S. were coming in to hear him, I did some research on him to find out who he was and what he did exactly so that I could understand what I was going to. Now, if you remember, the movie came out 2015 called The Big Short. It was about him, an abbreviated version, but it was about what that hedge fund did during the Great Recession. And he was able, years before it hit, to determine what was going to happen. And he formed a hedge fund, funded it, and basically shorted the credit market so that when the Great Recession hit, during the recession, his hedge fund earned over 500% return. I didn't earn 500% return during the recession. Did you? Well, anyway, after I did that research, I was very interested to hear what he had to say about where we are in our current economy. And I've done a lot of research. And that's what I've been sharing with you last week and this week. Last week, we talked about the impact of tariffs on our economy. There'll be a link below where you can click and watch last week's episode. Today, we're going to talk about the OBBA, which is the new tax bill that's been passed, and that's impact on the economy and self-storage. And then we'll also talk about, from the research I've done, what it looks like Litt is currently doing right now based on where the economy is. Now, one thing I've learned from doing this research is one of the big takeaways I got was follow the money. Don't follow the news. Don't follow a political party. Don't follow politicians. Follow where money's flowing. That will tell you a lot. The trick is to find the right person. And from what I can see so far, Litt's success rate's pretty good. So I was very interested in what he's doing. And Litt's talk about the new tax bill and its positive impacts and some things to watch out for. Now remember, I put more weight on this type of research than anything I'm hearing out of Washington or from politicians, because the sole purpose of this research was for Litt to decide what to do in today's economy. It wasn't designed to influence anyone, to change anyone's mind, to go to the public, or to try to make politicians do something different. He's just looking at what's happening, and based on that, where he can make a profit. I think we can learn a lot. Now let's summarize the main parts of the tax bill that will impact us as commercial real estate owners anyway, some more than others. And I got this from researching and listening to what he said in his research I found online. So one of the big items that will affect us somewhat is the immediate expensing of domestic Research and Development, Section 174. And this goes retroactively to 2022. Now, this doesn't impact us that directly in the storage business or the commercial real estate industry, but many of us do own other types of commercial real estate. And if we have tenants that are in some of our buildings that have a research and development division of their company, this could be important to them. However, one of the notes that I saw that he had made is that a lot of the private research in R&D in the private sector is partnershiped with people from universities. And these programs have been significantly cut since the beginning of the year. So, good thing it's retroactive, because R&D is going to be a little more challenging for some of these companies in the upcoming next few years. The next big item was 100% expensing of owner-occupied QPP, which is qualified production property. So new factories, new plant construction. So what's being built or what's being refurbished must be an integral part to the manufacturing, the refining, or agriculture. Construction must begin January 20th, 2025 through December 31st, 2025. 28, and there's that 1/20/25 date again. The next big thing that will impact us quite a bit is 100% bonus depreciation. So non-residential, commercial buildings, self-storage is included, interior improvements, qualified interior improvements, short life assets identified in a cost segregation report. So if you have a cost segregation report, the short life assets that are identified in it can be 100% bonus depreciated. And this will have an immediate positive impact on the net cost of capital improvements. You can run scenarios with your accountant, whereas if you do some improvements, particularly if you've been holding them off, if you do them, you will be able to deduct 100%, most likely, of those improvements the year that you do it. And that can offset the income that your self-storage project is producing. Work with your accountant. Section 179 cap raise from $1 million to $2.5 million. So HVAC, roof, security, fire systems, doors, insulation, windows, what becomes deductible has been raised. This will have a positive impact on us as self-storage owners. So Section 163, the interest deduction rules have been improved. And REITs became a big winner in this tax bill. Let's take a look. REITs and QBI adjustments. So Section 199A QBI made it permanent, phase in, and raised it $75,000 to $150,000. So REITs can now, so they can take some of their assets and put it into other satellite companies, and that was raised from 20% to 25%. Now, this won't have a direct impact on us as smaller investors immediately. But I do see REITs getting stronger, their returns increasing, which I think will make them hungrier as they go out into the marketplace looking for deals, and probably starting in 2026 is my guess. So what that means for me, or for us as smaller investors in the storage space, is I'm particularly focused again on areas where REITs won't be looking, or at deals REITs won't be looking at necessarily. Now, the bottom line is we will be able to accelerate our deductions, which should make it a little more favorable to do some of the CapEx improvements that many of us have been putting off. Now, keep in mind that the tariffs, watch last week's, are going to have an inflationary effect. They really function like a consumer tax on everyone across the income spectrum. And I don't see construction costs coming down. If anything, they're going to remain where they are or go up. And interest rates may come down some, maybe 0.25% this year, but they're not dropping to where they were pre-pandemic. So interest rates are higher, construction costs are higher. Be careful, don't just run out, run the numbers, work with your accountant, and get the net effective effect of doing the capital improvements with this added benefit of the deductibility of the work that you're going to be doing. And there's a price tag to the benefits that we're getting in this tax bill. And the price tag is more deficit, more debt, and a loss of confidence worldwide. Now, Litt looked at the various think tanks. He didn't come up with this on his own. He looked around to see how this tax bill was going to impact our country and the economy and the world economy. He thinks that the debt's going from about $21 trillion up to about $53 trillion overall, with interest included, by within the next 10 years, 2034. Here's what he said that, here's what he discovered that different think tanks are saying about the impact of the tax bill. The budget lab at Yale said it's going to increase $3.5 trillion. The Congressional Budget Office, 3.4. Penn Wharton said that it was 3.2. The Tax Policy Center estimated $3 trillion. And even the administration's ally, the Tax Foundation, estimated a $1.8 trillion increase in the debt. But that's assuming that the tax bill pushes the interest rates down to 3.25%. Do you see the interest rates going to 3.25%? Perhaps now we can see why the administration is so on it with the Fed Reserve Board chairman. Now, the real issue that I see as a result of this and the apparent economic policies that are coming out of Washington right now, which seem erratic a little bit, is a loss of confidence in the rest of the world in U.S. economic policy and the U.S. economy. Now, again, why is this important? You may not care what the rest of the world thinks. Well, here's why. This long-term debt that's being created, at any given moment, up to two-thirds of it are owned by foreign investors, both private and governmental. And the U.S. dollar has been the world currency since the end of the Second World War. And if confidence is lost in the U.S. economic policy, the firing of the person at the labor cabinet involved in generating labor statistics because the administration didn't like the numbers, and the rest of the world's like concern of whether whatever numbers are coming out of Washington are actually correct or not, the erratic tariffs, the different rates on different people, and the seeming punitive use of tariffs to punish countries for reasons other than economic, all of that combined has the rest of the world losing confidence in us. And what happens is when the rest of the world loses confidence in the U.S. economy and the U.S. economic policy, they look elsewhere to place their money. So what that means is we have less buyers for the long-term debt, and the ones that do buy are probably going to demand higher yields. Higher yields translate into higher interest on the long-term debt. It's okay to have national debt. In a healthy economy, national debt should run about 3% of the gross national product. The gross national product is a combination of all the goods and services produced by a country in a year's time period. You add all that together, national debt, if it's running 3% or less, is healthy. Here's where we are, and here's where Litt at least projects that we're going. And again, keep in mind, he's doing this to decide where to place the money, not to convince anybody to do anything different. Prior to the tax bill, we were at 6.1% debt to gross national product. As it's written, that would immediately increase it to about 6.8. And over time, if it remains permanent, that's going to raise the debt, assuming nothing else happens, to 7.8% of our gross national product. So lower confidence in the U.S. dollar is just a natural byproduct of sustained debt deficits that are increasing. So let's begin to translate this a little bit onto self-storage. And let's look at one of the charts that we used last week. This is a combination of the tariffs and the effects of the tax bill on the different income stratas of the U.S. population. And again, in this chart, the U.S. population from lowest to highest is divided in 10% increments. Let's look at the chart again. So as you can see, and remember, Litt breaks this down that the blue is the effect of the tariffs. And in this chart, it's based on dollar amounts in the different income stratas. And as you can see, it really affects every income strata and is basically functioning as a consumption tax. The tariffs are passed through to consumers. And consumers pay it. Now, the tax benefits generally are concentrated on the upper end. Why? Well, because the tax benefits flow primarily towards hard assets, and the people at that income side of the spectrum are the ones that own the assets. Now, a fair argument might be, well, if even though the upper end gets the tax benefits, that's going to generate more manufacturing, which will create more jobs that will help all income levels. And that's a fair argument. The combination of the tax benefits and the tariffs will incentivize U.S. companies to do their own manufacturing rather than to outsource it. Again, fair argument. But let's really dig down in that for a second. Yes, more plants may be built. For example, the administration told Apple they're going to put 100% tariffs on the import of computer chips, trying to incentivize Apple to build computer chips here in the U.S. Let's say Apple does that. So they invest money, build the plant. Who do you think gets hired to build computer chips? We've seen in the past decade or two decades in the U.S., even though manufacturing has gone down, the amount of manufacturing in the U.S. has gone down, its productivity has quantumly leaped. Why? Robotics and automation. In Kentucky, a new plant by Ford is being retrofitted for EV car production. They're hiring 2,200 employees. Well, about half of those are engineers, and the other half will be working on the lines. Hundreds will be working on the lines managing the robotics manufacturing the cars. Now, in the past, there would be thousands of people working on automotive lines. Today, hundreds are managing the robots manufacturing the cars. So even though there's a real emotional appeal to people at the lower and middle income, the blue collar, let's say, of the U.S., to that tariffs are a good thing that are going to help them, in reality, how many jobs, even if we do bring manufacturing back, will actually be created for a large segment of the population that actually put this administration in? Who knows? Probably nowhere near what people are expecting, even if manufacturing moves back. It occurs like that income level will probably be impacted the most between the tariffs and the tax bill. That's why in this for self-storage trade areas, we are really focused now, moving forward, at least for the next few years, on trade areas where the average median income is in the up from 65% of the income level up to 100. We are really focused on that. We talked about that last week in the episode, and we showed you the tools that we're using to determine that. Now, some people have asked me, what's Litt doing with this fund today? And he didn't say exactly, but I did my research and tried to figure out where his money's flowing. I'll take a couple minutes and show you if you're interested. If you're not, then you can stop here and just know that based on the combination of the tariffs and the tax bill, how we're altering our moving forward strategy is we're focused on the higher, you know, not 50% and up. We are really looking at 65% and up for the next few years of income in trade areas where we're considering going. Here's what I've seen that Litt's appears to be doing. And I have some charts to kind of back up his thinking. First of all, shorting the US dollar. And if you remember, shorting means he's investing, saying that the value of the dollar is going to drop. And again, if you short something and it's currently at a price at 100 and it drops to 20, that 80 point spread, whatever the points are, that 80 point spread would be your profit. When you go long, you're betting that the value is going to go up. So from what I can see, he's shorting the US dollar. Because why? Well, let's look. Tariff-driven inflation and larger persistent deficits under the tax bill, policy instability, and the global confidence risk in the US economy, and our credibility and the dollar's credibility. So if he's shorting the US dollar, what's he focused on? Well, from what I can see, Europe. My take is he's going long in euros in the currency market. The capital looks relatively stable. The currency looks stable. He feels that Europe is going to attract a lot more investment dollars. So long in the euro, short on the US dollar. He expects that inflation in Europe is going to be less than inflation in the U.S. He's shown the dollar index for 2025 so far and how it's dropped. The European economy looks like it's doing better and is more stable. In my opinion, if something doesn't change in the world view in the direction that it looks like our economy's going, worst case scenario is that the US dollar no longer becomes the dominant world currency and could be replaced by the euro as the dominant world currency. Now again, let's only doing this because that's where the profits appear to be in the next upcoming years. And this is capitalism in its most pure form. He's chasing where he thinks the profits are going to be, and based on his track record, at least something valid to consider. But more importantly for us in the storage business, I wanted to take this information and show how it could affect us as small storage investors, storage developers, and storage owners, and how it's changing what I'm doing as I'm moving forward in this fantastic business. And remember, if inflation goes up and the economy worsens, storage is a good thing to be in. So that's just my take today. I reserve the right to be wrong, and I reserve the right to change it. So thank you very much. I look forward to being with you next week.